Well, brothers and sisters, we have a chilly morning to be together, but the Lord reigns. I'm just so thrilled with the testimony of your brother-in-law. Hallelujah. I did bring it up last week when you were here to be praying for that. So praise God. I'm sure it had already taken place when we prayed. The Lord knows.
Yeah.
He had certainly prepared the way.
I have never seen them so happy. I'm sure they must have been that happy at their wedding. But I don't think I had ever seen them so happy. They were
praise
so
God.
Happy.
Wonderful. Praise God.
Yeah.
That's exciting. And that really is what I hope to emphasize. That's not the right word either, but that the Lord would take and magnify within our hearts from some things that I have been studying. Along with our Brother Jeff's messages, been trying to study the word in Revelation, and prior to that, those prayers of Paul that we talked about, I talked about several times, two in Ephesians and one in Philippians and one in Colossians, how the apostle was praying for these churches. And Paul saw very clearly. And he had been before the Lord for these churches. He had been given the charge to take the message to the Gentiles. And these were Gentile churches. And he was lifting up before them the Lord and all of his goodness, and desiring for them to walk in the light, that they would not stumble, that they would not be drawn away. And what I really want to emphasize is that the Lord is very clear gosh I don't want to use that word the Lord wants us to walk with him. And that's not just, it's walking with a lover. It's walking with a best friend. It's walking as Jim and Joanne were able to dance together, and to realize that throughout this life, for Jim to come to the realization that throughout this life, God has blessed him. Despite who he has been, who he was, the natural man that has welled up within him. And it's the same with you and me. And it's the same with these churches that Jeff has been speaking of. These churches struggled with things that they lost, that they gave up, that they failed to hold on to. And each church is encouraged, each group of believers, each believer is encouraged to overcome. And I spoke, I don't know if you would recall it, but some months ago on overcome, the word overcomer, and that in fact overcomer is not, the word isn't in the scripture, but it's overcoming, that we are called to overcome, and we overcome in the Lord. And that's right, in the word of his testimony, that we are his people. We are not just his, and not his people like this remote king, which he could be, but he is not. He is the lover of our souls. He desires for us to be filled with him. And the only way that we are going to hold on is if we abide in him. And so that's what brought me to this today. I was studying, continuing to study these prayers of Paul, and I got studying the hope of his calling, which is one of the reasons why Paul is praying what he prays. It's in this prayer in Ephesians 1, and it happens to be, I'm not going to read it again, but it's verse 18. He speaks of the hope of his calling. And so I was taken back in looking at this, to the, studying the word calling, looking at, you know, where it shows up. And it shows up in Romans 11. Well, there are a lot of places in Romans that we're very familiar with, but Romans 11 isn't one of them particularly. I mean, it's not a you know, everybody has an opinion on what's in Romans 11. You might not even know what's in Romans 11, but you probably will remember what it talks about, and it's what it's speaking of, what the apostle is speaking of. This is Paul, again, speaking to the church at Rome, which was a Gentile church, just like us. We are not Jews. We are not out of the house of Jacob. They were not out of the house of Jacob. There were Jews there, probably. But the point is, it was a Gentile assembly. They came to the Lord not through being a child of Abraham in the flesh, not being a child of Jacob in the flesh. They came being children of Abraham in spirit. And what I want what strikes me, and I pray that this doesn't wander too far and wide, but I've been watching the news, and today it was on the website that I look at, that there was an attack on Jews in Denmark, a synagogue. And I don't know if you recall, but several months ago, there was an attack, newspaper in France. But shortly after that, it was an attack on a Jewish supermarket or market where they sold, you know, kosher food and so forth. And the thing that struck me was there's this great big picture of Netanyahu calling the Jews, come back to Israel. We're ready for you. We'll make room for you. We want you to be here. Now, I don't know his spiritual state, but generally the spiritual state of Israel is not ready for the Messiah. They're being prepared, though. And many things must fall into place. And they are falling into place. And we need to be ready. We need to see the signs. We need to see the fig tree. What is happening? And so Paul is speaking here in Romans 11. He's speaking about the relationship that they have with the root, with the olive tree. The Gentiles have been grafted in, and they have been grafted into a tree which was not theirs originally. They were, as Paul describes, wild. They were part branches on a wild olive tree, not a cultivated tree. And they were taken from the wild tree and grafted into the cultivated tree. And the branches of the cultivated tree were cut off because of disobedience, because of the failures of the Jews to see who the Christ was, that Jesus came to them, that he fulfilled the prophecies, and they rejected him. Let his blood be upon us and our children was fulfilled. That was the cry of the crowd to Pontius Pilate. It was fulfilled. But God did never gave them up. He has not given them up. He continues to call them, and he is using them, as this scripture tells us. In verse 11 of chapter 11, it says, I say then, this is Paul speaking, I say then, they, the Jews, did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, if their transgressions, if their, the Jewish transgressions, be riches for the world, and their failure be riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? It's coming. It's going to come. But the point that I want to make is, this is all about abiding. Or throughout this, there is this abiding, that the branches are going to bear fruit. The branches of the olive tree are going to bear fruit. And for now, that fruit is coming through us. We have been grafted in to God's olive tree. And it's very clear that Jesus speaks of this in the same principle, same thing in John 15. That was one of my favorite sections of Scripture as a young believer. I remember memorizing John 15. I even had it typed on a little sheet of paper that I would carry with me when I went out to play golf. I love to play golf alone. And I would try to memorize sections of this scripture while I was playing golf. I was 15. Anyway, it was a favorite of mine. And the point of the scripture is abiding, being attached to the vine, being attached to the olive tree. That the life of God flows into us from the root, from the stem, the trunk, into the branch, and through the branch unto fruit. That life can come forth. And that's what the churches at the end, that are in Revelation, the things that they're being warned of is, you've cut off the flow. You aren't abiding. You're missing the point. You don't have to memorize what our brother Jeff is saying and the seven P's. You know, you don't have to remember all those words. What you have to remember is God's life. He wants me to hold on to him, and he will bring me through. God has been faithful to us and in bringing forth this word, that we might see, that we might be aware of the things that can distract us, that can cut off the flow. And I don't know enough about horticulture I don't know, are there blockages in, like we have in our veins and arteries in our heart and other places? Are there botanical strokes? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, these branches are there attached to the vine, attached to Jesus as God would have them. And even if they didn't grow there naturally, he has grafted us in, that we might enjoy, that we might partake, that we might live His life. His life can come through us. And if we are abiding, we will not miss the things that He wants us to see. He wants us to hang on. He wants us to be faithful. He will hold on to us. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to hear. He declares He wants us to hear. He has given us ears. He wants us to hear. That we might not be confused. That we might not turn away. That we might not give up seeing from the heavenly places. That we might not try to make it in our own strength. The Lord is so consistent and so He's sovereign. That word came up in our singing, our worship this morning. He is sovereign. He is sovereign enough to be able to take the branches off the tree and put them back again, and that they will bring forth fruit. That's what this says. He has not forgotten them. The deliverer will come forth. And for now, it says in verse 28, from the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you once were disobedient, speaking to the Gentiles, you were once disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience. So these also now have been disobedient in order that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience that He might show mercy to all. He wants us to experience His mercy. He wants us to walk in His ways, to trust Him, to realize that His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and that upon that rock we can stand, and we can always stand. He is there. He has done it. It is irrevocable. He has called, and His calling will not be withdrawn. He may cause this delay like He has with the Jews. He is sovereign to do that. But He will not revoke what He has promised. He is faithful to Himself. He is faithful to bring about His word. There is nothing that He cannot do. We have seen a great testimony. We've heard a great testimony of that. That despite all this that Jim has done, all of the accomplishments in a worldly sense, as a soldier, worldly man, that God's call has been upon him. And God has been faithful and saved His children and used them as a testimony to Him. God loves us beyond anything we can imagine. Scripture tells us so. It is true. The testimony of Jesus is of a love that endures forever. He wants his life to flow in us. As we struggle, as we have issues, sometimes we lose sight. But he is faithful to continue to call. He called all of these churches that had disappointed. I don't know if that's the right word, and I don't mean to put... Was the Lord disappointed? I believe he knew all along. And yet, when it got to the place where they couldn't hear anymore, he called to them. He was walking among them. He wants the light to shine, the light in the lampstand to shine. He called. He corrected. He wanted them to see. He wanted them to have the oil that they needed to burn, to have light, God's light. So with us, he will not abandon us. He is calling. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. Lord, we know we are not. We want to be, we desire to walk as you would have us walk. We must have your life. We must have you faithful to your word, to call to us, to lead us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to lead us in the path that we should go. Lord, that we might have your life, that we might be perfected into the bride that you are making. Lord, help us to dwell and to eat fully from the bread of life that you have put before us. The bread that you said you had that they did not know of in John 4. To do the will of the Father. Lord, help us to do your will. We thank you and praise you for all you've done. In your precious name. Amen.